Hey guys, I just wanted to bring you a quick update and let you know that Jason, our co-host here, and his wife Whitney welcomed their third baby to the world this weekend. The baby's name is Ryan, and by all accounts, he and mom are doing really well. So definitely pass along your congratulations to Jason and his wife. And with that said, enjoy this episode.
You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. Today, we're bringing you another episode in our side series on sharing or hearing the testimonies of other people. And today, we're going to be talking to Ken Gray. Now, Ken is a pastor out in Ohio, pastor of the church Heritage Christian Union Church. He is a graduate of Christian Union Bible College and Ohio Christian University. So, Ken, it's good to have you today.
It's good to be here.
So go ahead. Why don't you kind of introduce yourself a little more to the listeners here and then share with us your story growing up and, of course, your testimony of meeting and accepting Christ and where that's brought you in your life.
Well, as you already mentioned, I live in a little town outside of a little town called Forest, Ohio, pastoring here. I've been pastoring here since 2005. It's a little country church. I just recently got married June 29th of this year. She had adopted a little girl about 4 years ago, and so I will be adopting her here as soon as the state allows. We're newlyweds and trying to go through ministry and do all that as well. So that's where I'm at right now. But as far as growing up, I was born and now here I'm here. But there's a lot that happened in between there. I guess it kind of to bring it all in perspective, the growing up before I was 6 years old, I was your typical church family, if you will, just me and my mom and my dad. And we would go to church every Sunday. And things were good, and they were raising me right. They were teaching me the right things and right ways. And then my dad died then when I was 6 years old from cirrhosis of the liver. Now, he had never drank or smoked a day in his life, and but he had taken too much vitamin A as a kid. And that's kind of what caused liver issues. So when that happened, that kind of put a little bit of chaos in our family. And so my mom was trying to raise me on her own. And she was doing a pretty good job of that. So she would get some jobs and this and that. Well, she ended up meeting this guy through a pen pal. And they met each other. And so we moved out to California where she married him. And I believe they got married sometime in August. And 3 months later, or whenever it was, we came back for Thanksgiving to Ohio to visit our family. When we did that, we got a letter in the mail saying that he wanted a divorce and he would send all our stuff back, and including all my dad's stuff, all my clothes, all her clothes, and all of that. Well, he ended up moving from where he was at and he wasn't able to be found. So he basically took all of our stuff and we went from there. So that caused a lot of pain in my mom's life, as you can imagine. And then so she continued working. And then finally she was delivering newspapers and one morning, and she had a CB, and there were some people that were, for the lack of better terms, catcalling her. There was a gentleman that got on there and said, hey, you know, to kind of taking up for her, you shouldn't be talking like that. And so they ended up meeting up. To make that longer story short, they ended up getting married. And he was stationed he was also a truck driver out of St. Joe, Missouri. So we moved over to St. Joe, Missouri. They ended up getting married. We moved to St. Joe, Missouri and lived there for a year. Then we moved to a little town called Pattonsburg, Missouri. And Pattonsburg was a very small little town in northwest Missouri. It was where I spent from 7th grade to 12th grade. That's where I grew up. Very, very small community. I had a graduating class of 17 people, so it was very tiny. In the midst of all of that, they didn't have a cop in their town, so I I started drinking pretty heavily. And then it was nothing for you to be like up on the main street of town and on the four-way, as you, they called it. And you'd see seventh and eighth graders up there drinking, and just people would pass by and wave at them, and it wasn't that big of a deal. And so that's where my drinking got started. I was going pretty heavy, and like I said, I was in sports and all of that, and just trying to basically, my mom was always working, so I was kind of trying to raise myself. And then my mom was taking things pretty hard. And then here back in 91, that gentleman, he would always call my mom every night, and they would talk on payphone, and then he'd call my mom. And then one night he didn't call her. And so she didn't think too much about it, thought, well, he must got busy. So the next night he didn't call her. Well, next thing you know, she gets a phone call from where he worked and said, hey, have you heard from him? Because we haven't heard from him. So it turns out he was missing for a few days there and had no idea where he was at, no idea what was going on. And then about that time, after I think it was 5 days, my mom got a knock on the door, and it was someone from their work saying that they had found him, and he was at a truck stop where he had died of a heart attack in his truck. Luckily, they was able to find him because one of the other truck drivers had came through and seen him laying there, and then they came through a couple days later and saw him laying in the same position. And they knew that there must be something going on. So again, that was right around the same time my mom's father passed away back in Ohio. So within just 2 or 3 weeks there, she had lost two important people in her life. And she started taking that really bad. And she was very bitter, if you will. And I remember riding down the road one time with her, and she had been contemplating suicide and this and that. And I remember one time, and she was talking about it so much. I remember one time she's just sitting there and she's talking about it, and we was on the way, and I just remember one time saying, hey, if you're going to do it, do it. I'm tired of hearing about it. But it just kind of got really ugly during that time. And again, that's when my drinking really picked up. And that's when I fell into alcoholism and became an alcoholic. And then it was a few years after that, my senior year or junior year, my mom met another guy that she worked with, and they ended up getting married. And so that made her a lot happier. But by this time, I was already drinking pretty heavy. I graduated high school, and I moved back to Ohio. When I moved back to Ohio, I had this front up for all my family in Ohio that I was still this good church-going boy, that I still had everything all together, and that trying to put up this front and just trying to put on a show for everybody. It was obviously, since then I've been told it was obvious that that was not the case, but I thought I was putting on a pretty good show. And so I would try to go to church with them every Sunday, but then I was completely living a double life. Like I said, I had become an alcoholic and just not living right at all. And then within a month after moving back, I got pulled over for underage consumption. And so had to do community service. I remember talking to I remember telling my aunt and uncle and all of them, well, wouldn't you know, the first time I ever try this, I get caught. So again, trying to live a lie. At that point, I was just, I didn't care. I was just doing odd and end jobs because all I wanted to do was to drink. And so I was living odd and end jobs, trying to do this and that. I would steal from my grandma to try to get cash. I knew where she kept money. I would steal from her. I would steal from my aunts and uncles. I would steal from all kinds of family members, trying to just get enough money to buy more alcohol. I never got wrapped up into drugs, but alcohol was definitely my drug of choice. And by that point, I was down in a deep hole to where I just was not interested in anything. I was just trying to get by. But again, I kept trying to, because the last thing I wanted to do was disappoint some of my family. So I thought I was hiding everything from them. But again, like I said, that was not the case. So through all of that, things became pretty dark and pretty bitter. And so I got to the point where I felt like I had to have somebody in my life all the time to kind of make me happy. Just as you can imagine what all that led into. And then back in, I was still going to church, but I felt like God was tugging on my heart. But I was just like, man, I know so many Christians that people keep saying being a Christian is the best thing I've ever done. But then they also acted like they were so miserable. They acted like they was not enjoying life at all. I got to the point where I'd ask some family member, so how was your day today? And you know that they was going to be saying, oh, well, I had to do this. I had to do. And it was just they was miserable. Being the Christian, being the happiest thing they'd ever done, did not seem like those two went hand in hand. So in the midst of all of that time, I don't know if you remember the movie 8 Seconds, but that came out and I really got into where I wanted to do some backyard bull riding, if you will. And so I had went to some of these rodeos and these bull riding things that some of the locals were having. And I really started getting into it to where I would go every weekend and just got to know some of those people. And I would party up with some of those guys. But then there was also a lot of Christianity involved and a lot of people praying around that. And then in the midst of that, I had went to a professional bull riding PBR in Columbus, Ohio. They came and there was a guy there, and well, we had went to it, and me and my girlfriend had went to the hotel, and we stayed in the same hotel as the bull riders. I was not riding that weekend, but I came there, and these guys were all my heroes, and I remember going up to this guy by the name of Cody Custer. He was an ex-world champion bull rider, and I just thought he was the coolest thing in the world. And so I started talking to him a little bit, and so I kept trying to buy him a beer, and he's like, no, no, thank you, no, thank you. The next day, he had been talking to me about this bull riding school, and so I didn't think too much about it. But the next day we went to the bull riding session, and 3 words made a huge impact on me. And all he wrote was, Jesus love, for this autograph session, he just put, Jesus loves you, Cody Custer. And I'm like, oh, crap. And then I started second guessing myself and thinking, okay, how did I behave around him last night? What all did I do? What all did I say? This guy, here I am trying to impress him and be the typical cowboy. And he's one of these Jesus followers. Oh man. And again, same thing I was doing with all my family, trying to put on a show. I was like, okay, so I got to try to act like, I'm somebody that I'm not around him. Cause obviously he's somebody that's a Christian, even though he's a bull rider. By the way, I found out later on that he's also a minister. He never once criticized me. He never once made me feel terrible or anything like that, or judged me for anything I was saying or doing the night before. But all he wrote was, Jesus loves you, Cody Custer. And those 3 words made me feel like the smallest person in the world, because it's like, oh man. So I went and I talked to him, and I went to this bull riding school. Turns out it was a Christian bull riding school. I did not know that at the time whenever I was talking to him, but when I showed up, it was a Christian bull riding school. They had a little church service every morning. I was like, well, go figure, the bull riding school he's telling me about, of course it's a Christian bull riding school. He kind of tricked me into coming to this. Well, he didn't really trick me into doing that. He just told me about it, and it was a good bull riding school. Turns out it was a great bull riding school, and the people that lead it were Christians. So that had a huge, huge impact on me. And then that's, again, when I really felt God really tugging at me. But at the same time, I didn't want to be one of those Christians who said, being a Christian is the best thing that's ever happened to me, but then go around life miserable. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to be a Christian, I want to be totally sold out. I want to be totally for him. And this, what I'm about to say, kind of goes against everything I believe, but it happened to me. I kind of felt like, okay, the day that I become a Christian, God's also going to call me into ministry. And I'm like, so I was very, very cautious at giving my life to God, because I knew that if I did this, it was something that he was going to want me to be totally sold out for him. But I just felt this tugging, and I was like, no, here I am. I've got all kinds of good excuses. I mean, it's hard enough to find a good woman, let alone one that would want to marry a preacher. I don't even own a pair of dress pants. So how could I be a preacher? Because they've all got to dress a certain way and dress and wear these ties and do all these three-piece suits that you see. And so I had all kinds of excuses. And I thought, here I am, an alcoholic. So that can't be. And then I was at work one day. And I was working construction at that time. And I would just, again, go to do the bull riding and stuff on the weekends. But I was working construction with this gentleman. And I was at a job site working with him, and it turns out he was a preacher on a part-time minister, and then he would work construction. So I was working with him, and then I went over to a different job site right after that. And the guy I was working with this particular day, he asked me who all was on that last job site. I told him, and he's like, "Oh, I know him." He said, "He's a minister." I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's what I'm supposed to be doing." I kind of stopped me in my tracks. I was like, "What?" Because the guy that I was talking to was a drug addict. His wife was an alcoholic. His kids were always in trouble. And I looked back at him. I said, "Say that again." He said, "That's what I'm supposed to be doing." I was like, "What?" He said, "Preaching." I said, "You've got to be kidding me." And he said, "No." He said, "Let me tell you my story." And he said, "I went to this church," and he said, "I became a believer, and I felt God's call to ministry on my life." And he said, "I went home, and I told my wife." And she said, "I never signed up to marry a preacher." She said, "If you do this, we're done." He said, "From that day on, I've never stepped back foot in the back into a church." He said, "As you know, I became an alcoholic. My wife has become a drug addict. My kids used to love go to church, and now I can't get them to do anything. And he said, "My life's just falling apart." He said, "All because I listened and wanted to save my marriage as opposed to doing what God had called me to do." And as he's sitting there talking, again, I had not shared with anybody that I felt like God was calling me to ministry or even into a relationship with him. I'm just sitting there listening, thinking, "Oh, this is me. This is me in just a few years." I sat there and I was like, "Okay, God, what you're doing's working." And so I went home and just did a lot of praying. It was an ironic thing. I did a lot of reading, a lot of praying, and our local church that I was attending at the time, off and on, was having a revival the following week. By the way, this is something else that I would never recommend because it shows a lack of faith, but I said, "Okay, God, if this is truly what you are calling me to do," but keep in mind, I'm not really a believer at this point. I would say I was a believer, but I wasn't a Christian at this point, because I'm like, "Okay, God, if you are really calling me to a relationship with you and calling me into the ministry, I'm going to put out this fleece." So again, I would not recommend this, but I said, "I'm going to look through the Bible and I'm going to read the Bible every night. And I know I will have in my mind what the preacher is going to preach about every night of a revival. And if that's the case, I know this is what you want me to do." So this was a week long revival. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, I did that. And every night it was the exact same scripture that the preacher preached on that night. What scared the crap out of me. So that Saturday, I was like, "I'm not going to go." So I didn't go to church that night. I had read, because I got in the habit of reading the Bible that week, I had read the Bible, and there was something that was on my mind. It was the scripture that was on my mind. And I thought, "Well, I'll never know, so we're good. And so I won't have to, I know this isn't what it is." So I got up and I went to church the next day on Sunday. My aunt happened to attend this church. She came up to me. She said, "Boy, you missed a good sermon last night. He preached on." She told me what it was, and I just about died because it was exactly what I knew that the guy was going to be preaching about. And so at that point then, I was like, "Okay, God." And I sat there, and it was about a week later. I said, "Father," I just had to finally say, "Okay, God, I don't understand why you would want somebody like me. Somebody who is deep into alcohol, who is a thief, who doesn't really have a father in his life, who somebody that is just kind of no good, and you're wanting to use me, and I don't understand it, but I truly believe this is what you're calling me to do." And so on March 5th of the year 2000 is when I finally accepted Jesus into my life and accepted Jesus' calling on my life. And like I said, that's something that goes completely against everything that I know, but that happened. And quite honestly, I've said many times since then, I wish that I would have known the blessings and the joys that happened before that, because it would have saved myself a lot of financial trouble. It would have saved myself a lot of health issues. It would have saved myself a lot of family issues. It would have saved myself having to go back to my family and saying, sorry, but I have stolen from you and I need to pay that back. It would have saved myself a lot of trouble if I would have just said, okay, God, several years earlier. But in the meantime, I had to go through all of that. And by the way, since then, I had got a hold of Cody Custer and told him about who I was and reminded him who I was. And he remembered. And we have actually started a friendship and have a friendship now through all of that, because I continue to do some bull riding. And we have talked several times. He's actually led Bible studies through the phone and that kind of thing. And it just have a lot of new relationships. I have a lot of relationships that I would never had if I was still going down that same path and still going down that same road up until that day. So
it's a pretty amazing story just to see how Christ worked in all of that. I mean, you think of how many times we have those random encounters with people, and in some cases we never see them again. And for us, it was just, oh, we had a conversation about the gospel with somebody in a coffee shop, or, oh, got into, you know, the nature and character of God with somebody on an airplane, or, you know, in any of these sort of just random encounters. And yet you never know what the ordained plan of God in their life is in that, you know. And you see that sort of weaved into your entire story, where it's like all these things are not coincidences. And yet they brought you to this point to some degree. I mean, as much as I totally hear you and can even relate to a lot of your story in some senses. And you think, you know, you look back at all of that and think, man, you know, I wish that this hadn't been the case, or I wish that I had yielded to the Spirit a lot sooner, you know, those sort of things. And yet your testimony itself, though, is such a profound example of how and what Christ does and can do and is in the business of doing in terms of drawing us back to himself and bringing brokenness back to wholeness and allowing us to go forward to live out the design he has for us. So in light of that, I want to ask the question. I know there's a ton there, but in what specific ways have you seen Christ bring that newness of life in all of that, or in any particular thing specifically? Just how has Christ brought that about in your life?
Well, as you said, there's a ton there, and that was, I came to Christ back in March 5th of 2000. So we're coming up onto our 20-year mark here, and so much since then. Like I said, my mom and I's relationship was kind of severed a little bit, because I got so sick of her saying she was going to kill herself and this and that I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm sick and tired of hearing about it. Well, once I accepted Jesus, I had this new love for her that can not only be explained as through Christ. And so she actually just a couple years ago moved back to Ohio, and she moved into the town where I'm living at now, I'm pastoring at now. And we have now got a good relationship, which has been several years now that we've had a good relationship, basically right away. We never hated each other. We always loved each other, but it was just an interesting relationship there. But then once I became a believer, she changed as well, and she gave her heart to Christ, and that reconciliation, if you will. And when you come to Jesus, it's like a whole new reconciliation in relationships. And then as far as, so many times I think about the bull riding life, and an illustration that I think about a lot of times is my life in general before I came to Jesus was like a bull ride. I was just holding on tight for the ride. And so many times, like when you're on the back of a bull, you're holding on to one hand with one hand, but you got your other hand that's up in the air. And I had my hand, and I was grasped on, and I was holding on tight to this bull, And I was holding on tight to life and just letting that pull and letting that life take me where it wanted to go. But the cool thing about bull riding is if you kick it, you sometimes can control what happens. If you hold your hand just right, there's a lot that goes on to those 8 seconds that, there's a lot of quick thinking and a lot of the stuff that goes on. You can be in control. Now, that does not mean that your life is not any more chaotic. Your life can still be chaotic, but you can still have something that's a little bit of control there. And my life, even though it was chaotic and it seemed like it was out of hand and it was just bucking and going up and down and up and down and up and down, I look now and I see that there was a God that was in control, that was able to be able to watch over me and knew that what was going to be happening in the future, and he was able to use that. For example, I've been able to talk to a lot of drug addicts, to a lot of alcoholics, because they say they can't get out of that lifestyle. Yeah, I'm living proof that you can get out of that lifestyle. I would like to say that I never struggle and I never think, boy, it would be nice to have that. But when life gets really stressful, one of the first things I want to go do is go get me some alcohol. That's where I got to say, okay, God, I need you more than I need this alcohol. I need you more than I need that, just because with God, all things are possible, as we all know, and we can make it through that. And many times people will say, well, I know God's big, but, well, there's no but with that. God is big, and that's the end of the story. We serve a big God that's able to pull us out of terrible situations and terrible circumstances and bring us life anew and life afresh.
That's really good. So in light of that, at the end of this episode, we'd like to invite our guests to just share what would you say is the piece of advice, if you were going to glean something from your life, from your story, for our listeners, what would that be? What would you encourage them to take home out of this?
In those almost 20 years since I've been preaching, there's been a lot of ups and downs as well as there was beforehand. Used to be whenever I would have those low moments, I would turn to alcohol and try to find something that would make me forget about those problems. But now that I'm a believer, when I'm going through those hard times, when I'm going through those stressful times, I know I just mentioned that sometimes I crave that other, but I know that don't work. What does work is spending time on your knees in prayer, talking to other believers and saying, letting them pray for you and just saying, hey, this is what I'm going through, talking to somebody. And overall, you know, a lot of times people are private and they don't want to share what they're going through. And they may be living a double life or they may be doing this. But there's a lot of truth to the quote that says, the truth shall set you free. Be open about your struggles. Even as Christians, we have struggles. Even as Christians, we have problems. Even as Christians, we have issues that we face. And we may feel like that sometimes our prayers are not working. But find somebody that can relate to you. Find somebody that you know you can trust. If you think, well, I don't know who there is I can trust, find a pastor. Pastors are not allowed to share your story to anybody. So there's a whole pastor confidentiality thing. So find a pastor that you know, or find somebody you know that you can trust, and just be able to share your struggles and have somebody else there with you. Find an accountability partner that will be there praying for you and helping you through your struggles, through your daily issues, and just being able to get by. Because as the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. And that's truly the case, that you can get through anything if you are a believer. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, this is the KJV, if you will, the King Gray version. Tell everything to God, and you'll get this peace that is only explained that it comes from God. Cast all your cares on him. He wants to know. He wants us to share with him. And then this peace will come over you that you can only explain that comes from God. Nobody will understand it unless you're a believer.
There you have it, folks, the story of Ken Gray, or at least a part of it. We want to thank him for sharing with us here in this episode. And it creates an invitation, I think, for all of those listening to this. If you find yourself sitting here listening, saying, hey, my story sounds a lot like his, a lot of brokenness, a lot of chaos, a lot of destruction of the flesh, a lot of making bad choices, walking in addiction and struggling through. Is there a place for me in the kingdom of God? Is there a place for me in relationship to God? And the answer, as you've heard here, is absolutely yes. God is a God of restoring brokenness back to beautiful. He sent Jesus, his son, to die on the cross for our sins, to restore us back to himself. And he did that when we were still fully, completely in rebellion against him. This is the heart and character of God. And so if you find yourself listening to this saying, I don't think God could ever love me based on what I've done or based on where my struggles are, or if you find yourself hopeless in addiction, there is freedom available for you in Christ. There is new life available for you in Christ. And so the encouragement, of course, is to accept and to walk in relationship with him today. You've been listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you want to subscribe, feel free to do so on iTunes or Google Play. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to hit us up on social media or send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. To hear past episodes, go to our website, faithunpacked.com. And as always, we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.